Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful weekend. 11th, right, was Veterans Day. Some of you guys may have that day off, and some may have had Friday off. So you would have a long weekend, and if that's the case, and I hope you're having a long weekend, and some may have to work it, but a Veteran Day is such a first. I want to think if I have any vets listening to this podcast. Thank you for your service, the sacrifice that you had to make for us, for our freedom and our liberty, for a nation under God. Thank you for that. And there's many quotes. I was thinking over Veterans Day, for the last few days, and Ronald Reagan, like him, hate him. He did say this quote, which is to me pretty spot on. Freedom, which I hold very close to my heart, is freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We don't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Thanks for all of those that have served and are serving our country. We should always have them in our prayers, in our hearts. Those that are serving, those that have served. And thank them for the sacrifice they had to make, or making, for us to have freedom. So happy, I wouldn't say happy, but thank you. Thank everyone that have served our country, and we lift you up, and we want to pray and say that we're going to keep you in our prayers. So we are going into, First Timothy chapter 2. Last week, you guys can go back. We were not able to get through of all First Timothy chapter 2 because we hit that last part. There is some controversial topics or scriptures. And tonight, but I want to encourage you guys to go back and look at that whole teaching last week, because we're not going to go over all that tonight because we are dealing with the last couple or few verses in 1 Timothy 2. And I honestly don't know if we'll be able to get through all those tonight. It may be a third part here, because all I want to do is be really careful going through this and try to break down the scripture as much as I can within an hour time frame. And if you guys have any questions, on this website, there is, at the very beginning of this of the website, there is a where you can email me. So that's very important, emailing me. Of course, I have Facebook for now. That may change in the future, because if you keep track, they've been shadow banning me and a bunch of other people when it comes to messages and stuff and sharing quotes and stuff. So they're probably eventually ending up on Rumble, as RUMBLE, I believe. Rumble, thing with Rumble, it's not really like Facebook, it's more posting videos. But I think eventually in the end, I might have to go to Rumble, checking Rumble out. It seems like it's not regulated, like YouTube, and it's not regulated like Twitter and Instagram and all that. So the goal is probably eventually going on Rumble, or maybe even GodTube, and posting videos, and through those videos just basically placing a link to the website. You can still go to the website. This website, you still gonna post Bible studies and sermons as much as I can throughout the week. Normally one sermon during the week, because it's just a lot to do too, but sometimes I'll put two out there. And then a Bible study in a month. I'm looking at maybe putting a disciple Bible study on the website too, to understand discipleship, and in return, just I preached a sermon on Christian and discipleship, and how those are one and the same, not different. And of course, today American Christianity, the progressive Christianity, the professing church, will say those are separate. No, discipleship and Christian, and being a Christian, is the same. To say I'm a Christian, say I'm a disciple for Jesus. And the whole point of these Bible studies is for discipleship, is for training whoever's listening to do the work, to go out there and to preach the gospel. So education and learning through the scriptures, and that's why I've kind of slowed down looking through the scriptures here, so we can break these down, because they tend to be the last, I guess, four tend to be highly controversial. So tonight, what we'll do, if you have your Bibles, just go to 1 Timothy, and what we'll do is on chapter 2, and I'm going to read through the whole book, just because it's just good to read the Word of God, right? Although we will be primarily focusing on basically verses 11 and 12. I don't know if we'll be able to get to 13, 14, 15 tonight, but we will see what we can do. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and had to come into knowledge of the truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to testify in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that man pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manners also a man adore themselves, or that women adore themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, that with the broad hair would not with not with broad hair or gold or pearls or costly arranged, but which become women professing godliness with God with good works. Sorry. Verse 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, by suffering not a woman to teach or usher authority over man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being seed, was in the transgression, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, charity, holiness, with sobriety. This guy's bowed me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come tonight thanking you for this opportunity, God, just to come to you, lifting your holy name up. God, I pray that you guide and you direct this study. You let your word be true. Lord, guide me, direct me through the scriptures. Give me the strength to break down the scriptures as you will let me, God, and provide the knowledge that you need me to provide to those out there that have heard these scriptures and may have been misled. And Lord God, if you just, I pray the Holy Spirit all over this, God, tonight, and those that are listening. God, I want to also just focus on our veterans of this, you know, and we should never lose sight of our soldiers that have served for our country and that have died for our country, that who are still alive for and are retired now. God, let's lift them up to you. God, we pray that you be with them. Lord, we pray for those that are serving in our country today. God, you be with them, you guide them, you direct them. God, we pray, Lord, that they just know that they're loved, and we lift them up to you, God. Lord, I know many may be going through a hard time during this time of the year, getting closer to Christmas, and Christmas can shadow a great darkness and depression. So we lift them up to you, God. We pray that whoever's out there that or they get caught in this cloak of darkness, that they recognize and that death taking their lives is not the answer. And we pray, Lord, that Their eyes are open. They seek you somehow, some way. I don't know. I know you can reach them any way. You can reach them through a person. You can reach them through a dream. You can reach them through a radio station. You can reach them through the television. You can reach them. Your hand is mighty. And the method is beyond us sometimes, God. And we pray over them, God. And we pray that our nation, which is in chaos and turmoil, that we recognize for it's too late. That nation that once was one of the greatest nations in the world was a nation that was built. A nation under God. Let's keep that in mind. I'm going to pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we are looking at verse 11 first tonight. And the verse reads, I always read from the King James Version. Now, you may have different translation, and that's all fine. In my King James Version, it says, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection." All subjection. Now, when we look at verse 11, you will see that word silence. Silence. It's easy for us to put our definition on this and see it from our lens today, right? In some cases, this is true of words in our Bible. Back in Paul times, the same words can be used today. However, we need to keep in mind that this may not be the case for this word silence, the Greek word silence, which is hesuhia. That's H-E-S-U-C-H-I-A. Hesuhia. And this Greek word is meaning quiet. Quiet. We can see that Paul uses this same Greek word in 1 Timothy. I think it's 1 and 2. No, actually 2 here. 2 and 2. It says, "For the kings, for all are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty." So that is, we're seeing that word quiet here at the beginning of this chapter, which would have been, we got to realize all this was a written letter, chapters and numbers were added later, but this would have been reading as a letter. So in the letter, we're seeing this consistent word in this part of the body of the letter as quiet, quiet, quiet. And it's easy. So when we take that and we look at it, what can we get the sense or the understanding of what Paul is trying to communicate to his audience or to who he's writing to then and to us today? So keep that in mind. Silence can mean, and often does in Greek, quiet. Quiet, in this sense, could be a peaceful life. We may take in our lens and say, okay, well, silence means a life that is completely silence. But not necessarily. This can be seen as a respectful conduct to those who are in authority and a position within the church. Now, realize these are pastoral letters written for, in this sense, Timothy, which is over several churches, but also it's also a print for people in the church today for us to follow. So they are important then and they're important now. There's the relevant of them then is just as important as they are now. You will get many to say, well, these are not as important as the four Gospels, and that isn't correct. Why? Because all scriptures are authority, period. From Genesis to Revelation, they're all considered authority. They're God-breathing, they have no errors, and they are accurate. These are historical accounts that can be proven by historians today that would measure any historical book and determine its historical value, and its reliable and validity. And today the Bible stands the test. Any book you would put, like if you're reading a history book about the Civil War, the Revolution War, it is just as valid and relevant as that book. And now, this you will have, and many will question that. They will. And you will encounter that. Bible, our primary source, of course. Lee Strobe, he wrote a case for Christ. It's an awesome book. I recommend reading that. He's a what they call apologetics. That's basically to be able to defend your faith, to explain your faith. When you're dealing with hostile critics that will try to tell you that the Bible's inadequate, that certain parts are not correct than others, it's very important to, yes, of course, we learn Scripture, we memorize Scripture, but also from that point of view, when they try to destroy certain points in the Bible, we have to be able to defend our faith. Now, I'm not saying be hostile. We can friendly debate with them. What happens is people don't recognize certain things, like arguments, like saying, okay, you know, these letters, they're not valid as the Gospel of John, or they're not valid like the, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're less irrelevant. Well, we should be able to explain that they are just as irrelevant as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we should do it with ease and without stumbling on anything, because that's what they want. They want you to question your faith so you will doubt your faith and then discourage you, which discouragement can leave you walking. And I use that word, walking away from your faith. If you can walk away from your faith that easily, you were never in your faith. Meaning you were not truly a converted to Christ. That, once again, can be controversial on what side you hang on when it comes to Scripture. But the Holy Spirit is powerful, guys. He lives inside of a true believer, a true follower of Christ. And he will literally, as Hebrews 12 say, he will scourge and he will chasten you to. And I want to tell you, if you look up scourging and chastisement and scourging, I don't think many of us could handle a scourging of the Holy Spirit without falling on our knees and repenting of our sins, right? So to say, I give up and I don't understand, no. What we should be saying, okay, I may not have all the answers for that. One thing I truly know, my Bible is accurate. I will get back with you on that. I will study myself, and here's my phone number, here's my email address, here's my Facebook account. Let's be on a daily email. But a lot of times, that person that is trying all that, they could probably care less. But it's not about how they care, it's about how we care for their souls. Because it always boils down to really one word that is loved, especially here in America, is sin. America loves her sin. Today's churches love their sin. They don't want to hear about how they need God. They don't want to hear how we need to repent of our sins. They don't want to hear how sin should tear our hearts apart, because it tears God's heart. It grieves Him. It should grieve ours. And saying all of that, these scriptures matter. They're reliable. They're important for us to look at all the scriptures and come to that, looking at this scripture and that scripture, and looking at it in entirety of what the Word of God says. So we need to keep that in mind. So silence here, if we look, is meaning quiet and peaceful life, right? It can be a respectful conduct to those who are in authority positions within the church. And that's what Paul is getting at. Now, you may have heard of this word called complementarium, or complementarium. That's C-O-M-P-L-E-E-M-E-A-T-A-R, I believe. That can be seen outside of a church in a relationship, and that can be seen within a church. Because these are pastoral letters, and Paul's intent and purpose is focusing here on a physical building, and all the players, like the elders and deacons and overseers and the members, is focusing on that body, right? Meaning everyone in the church has a role and position, and they complement each other. Now, the roles will be different, right? But each one is going to complement each other. We can easily see that in Ephesians 4:16, where Paul writes, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compact by which every joint supply, according to the effective working in the measure of every part, made increase of the body until the edifying, made increase of the body until the edifying of itself in love." Everything works together. You think of working on a vehicle. Maybe you're into trucks. Maybe you're into newer cars, older cars. Maybe you prefer a 1976 Mustang or something older. Maybe you like to look at the older vehicles and the mechanics of them. Of course, today when you look at the newer vehicles like the 2020, it's just crazy how they have so many electronic components to it. It makes it almost impossible for somebody like me to work on it without having a shop that's fully equipped. If I was looking at a Ford Mustang with the Ford tech for it, diagnosticing and all kind of stuff they have today, electronical wise, to check all the electronical components. But if I looked at a 1960, 1970 Mustang, they will have less mechanical components to it, so I'm more likely to work on them. But when I get in my car, say if I was driving an older vehicle, which I do, but not that old, but old enough, but say if I was driving an older vehicle, maybe, a 76 Mustang, I get in, I turn the ignition key, and it doesn't come on. I'm like, well, ain't that something? Nothing happens. Immediately, I'm assuming, okay, maybe the battery. So, I get out, pull the hood up, I check the battery, not a good battery. So, I get a new battery. Maybe the battery cables are needing to be replaced. I replace the battery cables, or fix the battery, put it in there, turn it, and now it just kind of clicks. Well, what else could it be? Well, it could be my alternator. What I'm getting at is everything has to work together for that vehicle to operate. It could be eventually a fuse, or it could be, it could be a number of things going on. I say a battery alternator, change all that out, it turns on, then I start hearing a clicking noise, or like a loud squealing noise, then it might be my belts. Maybe I have to change my belts out, or maybe, you know, I press the gas and those, you have the fuel injectors, and you may have to pull the fuel injector out and repair it, take them apart. I used to, as a kid, used to play with those in the older vehicles and take them apart and put them together. So it could be, that's what I'm saying, everything works together. And that is the complementarium position when it comes to a church. And of course, you can use that outside and dealing with marriage. And you have this other one, the Garritarian position. And I'm only saying these words so you kind of can get a feeling to know what these words are. You can Google them and check them out later. The Garritarian. It means, basically, this can mean also once an outside, it can mean our inside a church, but we're looking at, because these pastoral letters and they're important, we're looking within the church. And what this group says, that all rows should be based. Let me pull my notes up here. I think I miswrote something there. Says, I agree that men and women are equal in position. That's it. Meaning, men and women, it doesn't matter when it comes to pastoral or elder or overseer. A man or a woman can be in that position. They will look at it, the gender part of it doesn't matter. And of course, there's a great debate on this, and I just want you guys to be aware of those terms and do your own research. Me, I'm a complementarian. I believe that is what the Bible supports. And that's what God supports. He did not create two men in the garden, although the world probably would like that, or two women. The first, it was a man and a woman. First a man, Adam, then a woman, Eve. And there was a reason, because they were separate. Didn't mean one was not more important than the other. It just mean both had their differences, their roles to play, that complemented each other. And that is what we really need to get our mind around when it comes to church. There is a reason why, when they use elders, which can be mean in a sense a pastor and an overseer, should be a male. That is not being masculine or sexist. That is just being truth in the design. It works, and that's how God intends it to work. Of course, the devil sees that he wants to destroy anything that God ordains as good. He wants to destroy it. So that silence here can mean quiet. Now, when we look at that word subjection, which some view as submission, there's a preacher, his name is John Piper. You know, I don't agree with everything John Piper says. He says a lot of good things, and of course he probably will look at me and laugh, because I'm not, I don't have all the degrees and all that, and that's all right. Guess what, you know, the disciples didn't have no degrees, and they've done a lot more than what he has done, so, and that would probably make them mad, but, and there's nothing wrong with degrees and learning, but when we try to use that as gearing that we're more knowledgeable than the other person, we that are children of God, we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. In reality, that's all we need. He is the master educator. Now, once again, I'm not against education. I have a degree, and I'm working on several other degrees, so I'm not against that. I'm just saying, when we sit there and try to look down on people because they're not as a peer educated more than you, then you have problems. There's something wrong with your heart. But I don't know, maybe John Piper wouldn't say that. I don't know the man, but I'll listen to some of his sermons. I enjoy his sermons, but I don't agree with everything he says. Well, in this part, I do. It's a definition of submission. He refers this to the divine calling of the rest of the church, both women and men, to honor and affirm the leadership of the elders, and to be equipped by it for the hundreds and hundreds of various ministries available for men and women in the service of God. And that is that definition of subjection, submission, is referring to the divine calling of the rest of the church, that is both men and women, to honor and affirm the leadership of the elders, and to be equipped by it for hundreds and hundreds of various ministries available to men and women in the service of Christ. So when we look at this verse, let women learn in silence with all subjection, we can view this simply as is. Let women, with respect, honor those that God has set in key leadership roles, such as pastors, overseers, deacons over them. As long as those men of God are not abusing their position, and they are following the Bible, and they are seeking God in what they do, then we women, and of course men too, but in this case women, should respect their teachings and learn and follow their guidance and their direction as they are given to love and to train for the many ministries that can be done out there for a woman. There are a ton of ministries, but when it comes to the pastoral positions and the overseeing positions and the deacon's position, women are not supposed to be in those positions. Why? Well, that can be a controversial topic, but why is simply, why did Eve overstep her boundaries in the garden with Adam? Same scenario here. But Adam was, and we'll get into that later, Adam was the one that allowed it to happen. And today, many churches have allowed what I call the Eve spirit to infect their church. Women are not supposed to be pastors. And that's not being mean or anything. It's just, it's what, clearly what the Bible teaches. And some will get really mad and they will tune me out. And that's just how, that's how today is. And that's why Christianity, the true Christianity, is fading in America, and that's why the hand of God is being removed, is because we're moving away from true biblical teachings, and we're injecting a false gospel in the churches, and they will, those churches, which are not biblical churches more, will not sustain the test of time. And so, keeping in that mind, right? That definition and how to look at that scripture is simply this. Let women respect and honor those that God has set in key leadership roles, such as pastors, deacons, overseers, deacons over them. As long as those men of God in those positions are following the Bible, they're not abusing it, and they are really dedicated in the growth and the development of their congregation and reaching that world for the gospel and the many ministries that are out there for a woman to partake in, and there's a ton of them. And when a woman oversteps that boundary and tries to tell the pastor that is solid on biblical that he is wrong, then simply church discipline has to apply. And trust me, that is listed, and that's a whole different topic in the Bible. Church discipline is missing in the church. There's people in the pulpits, the pastors in the pulpit, there are deacons there, they're not following what the Bible says, and they need to be removed from the pulpit, and somebody else needs to step in. But the thing is you got a congregation out there that are not living the truth. They're not studying their Bible. They're letting them do whatever. And because they got that man up there, and some got women up there, they're telling them exactly what they want to hear. And I'll tell you, as time increase and the days draw closer to the end, which we're seeing that now, them churches are going to be part of, and this is getting into a whole different concept, they will be part of the end time, Antichrist, one world, one religion, church, and they're going to partake in that, because they already bit into the apple, and now they're just going grabbing another one, that forbidden, or I'll say apple, that fruit. They already bit into that forbidden fruit, and now they are not repenting. They just keep on stepping deeper and deeper into that abyss. So really, that's what verse 11 is saying here. This is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to Paul when he's saying, when he's writing this letter to the church, and churches and the audience supposed to function, when what it's supposed to mean, how it should thrive from God's perspective, not ours. So moving on to verse 12. Verse 12 says this: "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usher authority over the man, but," once again, "but in silence." There's that word silence again. Remember, silence, quietness, respectfulness. Same Greek here. Having that respect over the men that God has placed over them to teach and guide and direct them. This word teach. When we look at this word teach, we should look at other scriptures too on teaching, and when it relates to women. Titus 2:3 says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husband, and to love their children." That's Titus 2:3, and we'll of course in our study, we're going to get into that later down the road. 2 Timothy 1:5, which we went over. No, we haven't went over that one yet. We will proceeding to that eventually. We're just in 1 Timothy 2. So we may end up doing another session on these last two verses. But in 2 Timothy 1:5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which is dwell first in thy grandmother Lois," speaking of Timothy, "and thy mother," saying basically your mother Eunice, "and I am pursued that in these also." He is saying these women had faith that was that just was amazing, and Paul was saying, "I praise them, right? Lois and Eunice, your grandmother, your mother, and how they raised you." Basically, I'll tell you, children ministry is needed, and be honest with you, most women can do a better children ministry, and it's just, I believe it's how God has gifted them to minister to children. Not saying men can't. I don't want to get the hate. I'll say hate mail. I don't have my address on here anymore. But hate mail on, "Oh, you saying men can't be youth leaders or what?" No. I'm saying there's a women tend to have a better. And now I'm not saying all. I'm saying there is except tend to have a better calling with children, and that's just it's just what I've seen. So that's a ministering to children, guiding and educating children in godly things. And man, you take a child and you expound the scriptures to that child. You don't know how that's going to shape that young mind when he or she gets older in their teens. And you know, you may be there teaching that child, and they may grow up and become, you know, a great preacher or a great pastor, or and when I say great, in other words, if through your ministry witnessing to that or teaching that one kid, and they grow up and they're able to influence 20 people, you are part of that ministry. You may not know what happened, but you will be accredited that obedience and that trusting in your calling. It's a beautiful thing. Acts 18:26, and he began to speak boldly in a synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him to them and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. And this is, of course, dealing with Apollos. See, these scriptures, they define, there's more, but we're kind of running out of time here. Kind of teaching, saying where women can teach. You can see in Titus 2:3, it said, age women, older women, their behavior becomes holy and then not false accused, meaning they teach the young women to be sober and love their own husbands and love their children. I mean, there's a ministry there for women, a women ministry. And then you look at 2 Timothy 1:5, there's that children ministry, a child ministry. And then 18:26, you look at Aquila and Priscilla, and you see that evangelistic and that outreach, right? Outreach and that missionary beyond the walls of the church, and doing that ministry, which is very important. Outreach is important. You know, most of our churches, they suffer from outreach because they're not doing outreach. A person in a church, regardless of a man or a woman, can go out there in the highways and byways and be that mouthpiece and to reach those with the gospel. You can bring somebody to Christ right there in the streets. You don't need a four wall building within, and you don't need that. You can bring them to Christ right there on the streets. And of course, when you do that, you want to get them into a good church with a solid Bible teacher and a solid pastor that believes in the Word of God, so he can expound, and there's the discipleship, right? That growth. But you bring them in, you're accredited, that's powerful. And then the pastor, he knows the scriptures, he expounds that through the preaching and through the teaching, and that person grows, and then he goes out, and then she goes out. That's how that works. But our mindset is all crazy, because why? Well, I want to be the pastor of the church. I'm a female. Oh, I want to do this. And you're neglecting all the other opportunities and what God's word says about what you should be doing. And you want to try to make things happen. There's nowhere in the scripture where God says that you as a woman can be a pastor. Nowhere. You can't make it work. You try, but you can't. Quit fighting it. You know, we look at that phrase, not us to assert authority over man. And when we look at that word authority, guys, what do we think? We're going to look at 1 Timothy 3 and 5, and we're going to look at, of course, Titus, and we're going to look at the roles of the elders in future studies. But elder simply here is referring to a pastor and an overseer, and they have two basic responsibilities. The elders rule, that is, they govern, will be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. They are to teach and preach within that church. They are supposed to be the chief teacher, the chief preacher in that church. They are the male. They are males. Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourself, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We as pastors, or we as overseers, we are supposed to expound and feed the church so it can grow. So keep that in mind, elders, pastor, and overseers. When we look at this, we can say authority, right? Authority is referring to elders. Authority is referring to the overseer. We can take this passage and by looking at the other scriptures that I provided, and I didn't want to provide so many, but I could expound probably for another 2 hours, maybe two, on piecing stuff together. But I want to give you guys enough material tonight to be able to make your own decision by looking at these scriptures that I'm presenting to you tonight. I'm not telling you to believe one way or the other. I'm just telling you what scripture, what it points to when I look at it. And there's really only one interpretation. So I hope you take this and you just look at it. And you look at these scriptures side by side. And you look at the Greek of it and you're like, okay. And then you look at wherever every part in the Bible where Jesus used women or women were mentioned in the ministry. How was it? And was it, and can you take that and can you connect it clearly, not indirectly, clearly to pastoral? Not Aquila and Priscilla, you know, they were important to the ministry, so that's why women can preach. That's a jump, right? You're jumping. Or, you know, those parts of the Bible where in the pastoral letters, they're not as reliable as the direct words of God. Look how the Bible was designed. There's a documentary, which is, and there's many, is The God Who Speaks. It shows us how the Bible we have today, how it was basically, how it came together, pieced together. It is inspired. It is the Word of God. It is just, as I was saying earlier, it is reliable as any historical book, but it is basically a summary, a correct, but it's still the Word of God, but it is a summary of the accounts. The Gospels were put in Matthew's, Luke's, Mark's own words, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? We're not taking that away from the Holy Spirit. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, they penned those words, but it was from their perspective. Doesn't make them less valid. It doesn't make them less reliable, because we know, as I said earlier, the Bible is reliable and is valid. But you can't take Matthew's gospel and say that's more important than the pastoral letters, because you are piecing things together, and we don't need to do that. And you will have people like Beth Moore out there that says that stuff, and I've encountered other people say that, and you are discrediting the Bible. If you don't believe one portion of the Bible, then you don't need to believe none of it, period. And if you're in that mindset, you don't even need to be in the ministry, because you do not know how to explain the Word of God. And in verse 12, what we could do as a summary here is, when we look at the scriptures in whole, is what Paul is saying. I do not permit a woman to assume the office of a elder that is a pastor, overseer in the physical church. John Piper, I won't mention this, authority that he says here. John Piper defines authority as referring to divine calling, a spiritual gifted man to take the primary responsibility as elders for Christ-like servant leadership, teaching in the church. Is that authority, right? So when we look at verse 12, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usher authority over man, but to be in silence. Silence is that woman showing respect, right? That respect for that leader, that pastor, that deacon. The word here in Greek, you can look it up. It's H-E-S-U-C-I-H-I-A, Hesuia, Hesuia, which means quiet. And you can see that in verse 2. Of this chapter, and of course you see that in verse 11, and you see that in verse 12, and I encourage you, you can go throughout the Bible and look at the word silence and make your own comparisons. But he's not saying for them to be silent and not say a word. He's saying that women should respect that teacher and that Bible preacher, that pastor in that pulpit, and learn in respect of that pastor, and to grow what that pastor and that overseer says, and then go out and do the many, many other ministries that God has clearly has defined for you to do. All right? For Ephesians 4:16 tells us, everything works together. Together come back by which every joint supply according to the effective working in the measure of every part made increase of the body unto the effecting of itself in itself in love. Everything. Right? And I encourage you to go look up the word complementarium. That's C-O-M-P-L-E-M. C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-A-T-A-R I'm trying to think of the word. Agilitan. If you look at those, study those. Be familiar with those terms. That's E-G-A-L-I-T-A-R-I-A-N, I believe. That will get you close on a Google search. But be familiar with those terms. Look at them. Don't let somebody say, well, you know, you this or that. And then point to the scripture. Point to the Bible. But everything, to me, is God works in a see in a scripture. He is not a author of confusion. He is a author of unity. And a church is supposed to operate in unity. And when everything is going crazy and you have people with challenging authority, as long as they are preaching the gospel and they are clinging to the scripture, you don't challenge a man of God that is clinging to scripture. Now, if he misspeaks, of course, he has to be corrected. And that man should be able to take that correction. I always say, if I say something misleading, please correct me. If I'm saying it on here, I'm saying it in the pulpit, I will apologize. I am human. But do not come at me with no scriptures and not one scripture and try to twist that one scripture and don't make it fit in the whole portion. I will hurt your feelings. And I have hurt feelings. Not intentionally. But that right there is just people are trying to make things work for them. And they're going against scripture. And I am all about following scripture. In closing tonight, I just want to really get this. And we really get to 14 and 15. We'll make this a part 3. I figured it would take a little while to explain these. You know, I could have went a lot deeper into this. The book that we were reading from. I just used kind of like a guideline. We go through it. They just didn't do a very good job breaking these down. So I just wrote this Bible study tonight. I wrote this one myself completely. So if you need a copy, I can send it to you. But that, here's the thing, God, I'm not sitting here bashing men and women roles at all. I'm truly, men and women roles within the church is very important. That is the local body, the church, the assembly. It is not to sit there and take the women and suppress them. No, I would never do that, because I believe every role. And I don't believe that one role, and we talked about this before, I don't believe one role is bigger than the other. I can get in the pulpit and preach my heart out for, 30 minutes to an hour. And that's what God has called me to do at that point. It's no different than a mom who takes their kid home after the service and loves on them, and maybe go over the sermon notes or do a Bible study during the week. That's just as equally as important as me up there preaching. It's just as a man that, takes his family home during the week and does a Bible study. That is just as important as me up there preaching. There is nothing small in God's eyes, nothing small or big. It's all equal if you're obeying or walking in the light that God has called you to do. And that's why we get so fixated on, I want to be the one in charge. Oh, I want to be the key. I want to be the chief. Oh, I want to be the man. Walk in the calling that God has given you, but make sure you're following scriptures and you're not tainting the word of God, because you will have to answer for it. So what my cry is, make sure you are definitely 100% sure that you are biblically solid with the word of God on understanding these scriptures and your position when it comes to pastoral positions in a church, if it be male or female. Understand that, and overseers and deacons, make sure you understand that before you go out there and voice your opinion that is not based on any truly biblical scriptures. And I hear the same scriptures over and over again, and I always encourage, give me one scripture where it clearly connects a woman to a pastoral position. You will see in these two verses, the elders always refers to, in these letters, these pastoral letters, elders always refer to a male. And that's really simple. And if you can prove me wrong, do it. You guys have my email address. You can do that. But that's my thing is let's be solid on the word of God. And I know I ain't a great Bible teacher, and I may fail in explaining it elegant as John Piper or some of these other guys who really think they got it going on for themselves. And I'm not bashing them. Their ministry. I follow John Piper and listen to his sermons, and there's things I don't agree with on the approaches they take. But I still love them. I still pray for their ministries as others. But we need to, be very clear and how we look at words like silence. What does that meaning? And authority, what does that mean? And authority is referring here to the authority positions within that church, and that's pointing to the elders and the overseers and the deacons, right? So, with that all said and done, my heart cry out to you tonight is to just go through this, do your own study, seek God's direction, and then make your own decision. But of course, pray on it, and not just an hour prayer, you know, not 5-10 minutes. Spend hours or, you know, or days or weeks or whatever seeking the scriptures, which I have on certain matters when it comes to this topic. And let God guide you and direct you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach and teach your word. I know it's not going to be received well. I know the controversial topics. I know the mainstream nominations, the nominations that support women pastors, and they do a lot of things that is against the scripture, period. And that's just one step to their apostasy, to their turning away from you, God, when the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, that sits in the one world government, the one world religion, sits up, and I believe we'll be here for that. That's another controversial topic. But those churches are already listening to the noise of this progressive Christianity movement and already not being able to expound the scriptures and just giving in to all the spirits of the demonic spirits of nothing's new. Nothing's new. You flip over the Genesis and you can see that the relationship between Adam and Eve and how it was disrupted and how they were this perfect garden that they were kicked out of. The same tricks are over and over. What we do know, Lord, is when we cling to the scripture and we seek you through the scripture and we make sure the scripture speaks where we need to hear, where we just seek you and we just listen to your word, and the scripture is supposed to speak first before we act, and scripture should be our heartbeat, and we should know scriptures without even opening our Bible, and should be memorizing scriptures, should know them while they have, you know, key scriptures and just scripture after scripture, Lord, that we should just know them, and that should be our life source, and that, Lord, you are our light, God. Oh, how we should be praying more and seeking you, God. Oh, how our Bible studies and our Bibles are collecting dust. Oh, how our churches are so lukewarm. Oh, how we love our sin. Oh, give us the show. Oh, give us a show so we can go home. Let's shout and praise for an hour and then live like the devil the rest of the week. Oh, in that day, God, you will tell them to depart. I never knew you, Lord, but we pray that their eyes are open before that day, that they come to their misunderstanding and how they have allowed Satan to blind them, as Satan blinded Eve, that Eve allowed him to blind her, and then Adam, and then the fall. Our enemy is smart. He's effective. But it is through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit that equips us to counter false doctrine and to glorify true doctrine and stand true on the Word of God. So we pray in your holy, beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you guys. Y'all have a good night.